Hold them up real high. Those of you who are online, thank you so much for joining us. All right, single people, I want you to sound better than the married people. Say, this is God's word. Come on, y'all can sound better than that. Say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the singles that are gathered in this room. Lord, I pray that what you have prepared for them, their hearts will be opened so they can receive the engrafted word that you have already designed and prepared for their souls. I pray in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of God that's already here will prepare their hearts and their minds. And Lord, I thank you that most of all, the word that you prepared for them is going to prepare them for the next level life you already have designed. So I pray that signs, miracles, and wonders will follow their lives in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen? Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before I get started, I'm going to ask if you are in physical pain right now, I want you to stand up. If you're in physical pain, well, you can feel it, wherever it is in your body. If you're in physical pain, I want you to stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Now listen, if you are close to someone who are standing up and you can touch them, when I ask you to, I'm going to ask you to touch them in an appropriate place. Okay? Now you say, well, Pastor, where are you going with this? The Bible says that when you lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. The Bible says that when we pray the prayer of faith, that God will heal the sick. So I just came from a church, and I probably had 35 people stand up, and over half of them were healed before the end of the service. I don't do things I don't expect God to move on. God is going to move in this service and in your body. So here's what all I need you to do is, number one, you were obedient by standing. Number two, I'm going to ask now, if you're close to one of those people, just put your hand on them. And then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray in prayer of faith, in just a second. But when service is done, when I'm preaching and you sat down, when your pain is gone, not when you guess it's gone, not no bygone by faith stuff. I'm talking about where it is gone. When that pain is gone, even while I'm preaching, I want you to stand up and wave at me like that. In fact, just practice it. Let me see you practice. Those of you who just, yeah, there you go. There you go. Now you say, well, I don't want to be embarrassed and stand up. Then you, why would you not want other people to see that God heals? Get out of yourself. And I want you to stand up and do what? And wave. So touch that person. Father, thank you that the power of God is real. You told us if we lay hands on the sick, that the sick shall recover. And so, Father, I thank you that the prayer of faith will save the sick. And you said the Lord will raise them up. So, Lord, right now, because we have power in our words, we can call those things that be not as though they were. We can speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed. We speak the pain in Jesus' name, and we command you to go. You cannot stay in that body. We command healing to manifest now from the top of their head down to the soles of their feet. Father, I thank you that healing power is flowing not only in the room, but Father, it is flowing in bodies, and I thank you for healing every person that is standing right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Can everybody say amen, amen? Give the Lord a hand clap, and you may be seated. So every year, we got somebody waving. Okay, all right. All right, we got a wave. Come on, clap, clap, clap. We got a wave already. So every year we use the month of September to focus on relationships. How many know relationships are important? Relationships are important. And so what that means is we got somebody. Now you got to stand up and wave. Don't just sit there. Hey, you come on now. Don't sit down and wave because everybody be waving while I be preaching. Preach, Pastor. All right, so stand up and wave. Don't sit down and wave because I'm just going to think you're waving at me and I'm going to wave back. So every month, for the month of September, we divide our church by relationship status, and I feel that is very important. And for the first time, we're doing that with three services. We've never done that. And so our 8:30 services is for legally and biblically married couples. Now, if you don't know what that means, that's why you are sitting in this room right here. Okay? Now, our 10:30 service, which is this one, and our 12:30 service has been designed to minister to those who are single, or should I say non-married. Okay? Now, FYI, the reason I do this every year is so that, back in the day when I used to do marriage conferences and single seminars, they wouldn't be properly attended. And so the Lord gave me this idea to do this on a Sunday morning so I could reach the masses. So what I use this opportunity to do is to give the singles counseling right over the pulpit. And so whatever I would say to you as a single person behind the scenes in counseling, I'm going to say out here, and I'm going to try to say it in a filtered way because I know we have some students in the room. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Now, this service is for single people. So if you're married, any married people in the room, wave at me, married people, wave at me. Okay, well, you missed it. You missed it. So next. So. Oh, okay. All right. 44 years. Well, that means y'all going to have to watch that 8:30 service when you get home, though. So if you're visiting us and you're married, then next week come to the 8:30 service. And then, of course, we have another service after this one for just our single people. As you can see, the room is maxed out. So next week, if you want to come to 12:30, you can as well. So our series title, which I'm so excited about for our single people, is called Here Comes the Bride. Here Comes the Bride. And if you're taking notes, our message title today, in fact, if you need some notes, raise your hand. Our ushers will give you some, hopefully. But our message topic today is, are you oil ready? I see some hands. Do we have any more notes? Keep your hands up real high. They're going to bring some. We have some on the front. Keep your hand up. They're going to bring you some notes. The message title is, are you oil ready? There was a man who bought a very expensive luxury vehicle, top of the line, brand new, beautiful on the inside. He had a powerful motor under the hood. And every weekend, he would show this vehicle off. He would drive it. He would wash it. He would fill up the gas tank, put armor all on the tires. And a couple of times, his oil light came on. But because in his mind, the oil hadn't leaked in his garage, he thought to himself, how can my car need oil when I don't see it leaking out? So he didn't pay attention to it. So one weekend, the engine began to make a strange noise. It began to tap and knock and have all kinds of noise. And then all of a sudden, his car stopped. So he had to have the car towed to the shop. So when he got to the shop, the mechanic asked him, when was the last time you checked your oil? So just look at somebody right now and ask them, when was the last time you checked your oil? Somebody, oil light is on right now. Oil light is on right now. This is your warning. Go get your oil checked. So the mechanic looked at the man and shook his head. He said, sir, your engine is locked up. You didn't lack gas. You lacked oil. This man ruined a very expensive vehicle because he did not keep a check on his oil level. And so today we're going to check your oil levels out by looking at a parable that Jesus gave us that points out the importance of having oil in your life. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to start right there. We're going to start with verses 1. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them," everybody say 5 of them. 5 of these virgins were wise, and 5 of these virgins were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But the wise," everybody say the wise. "The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they were all asleep and slumbered. But at midnight, there was made a cry. Behold, the bridegroom has shown up. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, not so, lest there not be enough for us and for you. But go to those that sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' And so while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready," everybody say that were ready. "They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open the door to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not.'" Let's read verse 13 together. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." Now, this is not shade. Touch your neighbor and say, "This ain't shade." This is not shade, but many Christian women want a groom, but they're not making themselves ready for the bridegroom. So we have a parable here that Jesus himself spoke. And the gist of the parable was, you need to be oil ready when he comes. And the focus was making sure that these virgins had enough oil so when the bridegroom shows up, of course the bridegroom represents Jesus, that they would be ready. Now I believe in today's world, the average single person is not looking for the Son of Man. They are looking for a man or a woman. I'm going to repeat that one. Here we go. I'm going to say, I believe in the church, the average believer, the average single person, they're not looking for the Son of Man. They are looking for a man or a woman. And you say, "Well, Pastor, is there something wrong with that?" The problem is, many of you who are thinking that way don't realize is if you can't be satisfied with Jesus, you will not be satisfied with nobody else. So let's go back to our text and see what we can pull out of this to make sure your priorities as singles are in the right place. Because watch this, when God is first in your life, everybody say when God is first. When God is first in your life, he has promised that he will add everything else we need. Amen. The Amplified version of Matthew chapter 6 in the Amplified says, "Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, 'What are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Or who are we going to marry?'" I added that. I'm sorry. "For the pagans, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, eagerly seek all these things, but do not worry." Why? "Because your heavenly Father knows you have need of this stuff. But first," everybody say, "but first." "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his" what? "His righteousness," which is his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, "and all these things that you need will be given to you also. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. So let's go back to this parable, because Jesus was talking about this parable described how the kingdom of heaven operates or looks like. In other words, these 10 virgins, they took some lamps and they went to see, or they were looking forward to see, the bridegroom, which now brings us now to our first point, which is your purpose determines your priorities. See, the purpose for these virgins should have been to make sure they had enough oil so that when the bridegroom showed up. Because, see, your purpose determines your priorities. Everybody say, my purpose determines my priorities. Your purpose should always precede your need. I'm going to say that again. Your purpose, what God's called you to, should always precede your need. And here is why I say that, because God has already said he would meet your need. That's what Philippians 4:19 is all about. He says, my God shall supply how much? All of my need, and that's according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if God has already said he will supply my need, and that happens when I seek first the kingdom of God, then watch this. Everything else will work out if I keep my purpose in priority. Amen. Everybody say, everything will work out when purpose is pursued. Watch this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that how many things? All things will work together for good to those that what? Love God, and to those who are what? Called according to his purpose. In other words, as long as you pursue God's purpose for your life, everything in life will work out for good. Watch this. Work not only for your good, it'll work out for your good even if it was your fault. You know why most people cannot have faith for God to fix a problem that they created? Because they think that Romans 8, 28 is just for people who messed up, or who somebody messed them over. But listen, Romans 8:28 is not just for when somebody does you wrong. It's also when you do wrong. Say amen to that. So as long as you pursue God's purpose for your life, according to Romans 8, 28, everything will not only work out, but it'll work together for your good. But unfortunately, sometimes as singles, you get distractions, and distractions sometimes can get, how many have been distracted before? Let me see your hands. Distraction, uh-huh. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're probably the distraction. Because let me say this, if the goal is the bridegroom, then he will make sure when you're in position to make sure you meet the right groom or bride, because that's his goal. Because if you listen, if you can't wait, you will make a mistake. I'm going to say that again. I'm talking about a mate now. If you can't wait for a mate, you will make a mistake. Everybody say, if you can't wait for a mate, you will make a mistake. See, church, when you are desperate, you will overrate marriage, which will cause you to underrate your purpose. Did you hear that? I'm going to say that again. I said, when you are desperate, you will overrate marriage and you will underrate your purpose. Here's a take-home thought. Everybody say, If God isn't enough for you now, no person will ever fulfill or satisfy you later. You may be saying, well, Pastor, what is my purpose while I'm in this season of singleness? And that's the problem. Some of you all don't see singleness as a season. You see it as a punishment. God, why I got these feelings? Because you're human. God, why I want to be married? Because that's normal. God, why I want to be married today? It's because you're burning. Listen to 1 Corinthians 7:32, because it gives us the biblical reason why you're still single. This is in the New Living Translation. Paul says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man, how many know that's a single man? He says, an unmarried man can spend his time doing whose work? Doing the Lord's work and thinking how he may please the Lord. Now, I'm going to drop down to 1 Corinthians 7:34. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married, how many know that's a single woman? A woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in what? And in spirit. Can you imagine if Jesus had been married, how difficult the cross would have been? Because you got to check in with your wife. Baby, today is the day I'm going to be crucified. I'm not ready yet. No, Jesus, not today. Change the day, Jesus. You're the master. Listen, what you can do now as a single person, you will not be able to do when you're married. Amen. The purpose of being single, here's my definition or my point. The purpose of being single is to maximize the spirit part of you through serving the Lord. Minimize the flesh part of you by learning to live a crucified life and disciplining the mental and emotional part of you so that you are always in position to hear and obey God for your life. Amen. Because your pursuit reveals your priorities. So let's go back to our text because I want to point some things out. We know that there were 10 virgins. There were 5 of them that were foolish and there were 5 that were wise. The foolish ones didn't have enough oil, but the 5 that were wise did. And so verse now 5:25-5 says, while the bridegroom tarried and they slept, and when midnight came and the bridegroom showed up, they went out to meet to him, and the virgins, all of them arose and trimmed their lamps. But watch verse 7, which we're going to focus on right now, which relates to our second point. Then all the virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, read this with me, singles, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, which brings us to our next point, which is, who or what is getting your oil? So just look at your neighbor right now and ask them, who you giving your oil up to? Go on and ask them. Ask them just like that. Who you giving your oil up to? Okay, let me say it this way. I'm going to say it a different way. Who is getting your anointing? See, in the context of this parable, the oil represented preparedness because without it, you couldn't meet the bridegroom. But in the Bible, everybody say in the Bible. In the Bible, oil represented several things. I'm only going to point out 2 key areas that it represented. The first key area is the oil always represented the Holy Spirit. But then the second area that oil represented, it always represented the anointing or being anointed and being consecrated. Every time somebody got put into a kingship, remember when David was being crowned or being anointed the king? And the prophet asked Jesse, David's dad, to line up all the sons to see who was going to be the next king. And the prophet, this is why the Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. Just because somebody prophesies something doesn't mean what they're prophesying is the Lord. Because it's just like, listen, prophetic people are human just like we are. So they can miss it. And so here it is, the prophet saw the oldest son, the tallest son, the most handsome son and said, that's the one. And God said to him, nope, that's not him. He says, man looks on the outside, but I'm looking at the heart. So he went through all the sons and finally said, wait a minute. The oil is not breaking. Do you have another son? He says, oh, yeah, I got my youngest is out there keeping sheep. See, never let the mundane stop you. But watch this, being made to do what God's called you to do. Because David was doing the mundane thing, not knowing that the mundane thing was training him for the main thing. Did you hear what I said? I say, see, some of you all are treating the mundane as mundane, not knowing that the mundane was going to help you with your mandate. And David was out in the sheepfold keeping sheep. He wasn't even considered enough to be before his other brothers. They brought him in, and the oil, watch this, was consecrating him for the king. So that's one of the points for oil. It consecrated people. So let me ask you the question again. Who is getting your consecration? Now see, some of you are wasting your oil on people and things that's not pushing you toward your purpose. And now when God needs some oil from you, your oil is too low because you've wasted it on foolish people and foolish things. I want you to notice that the foolish virgins asked the wise virgins for some of their oil. Let's read it again. Matthew 25, verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, read it with me, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Who has caused your lamp to go out because your oil is low, because you're giving it to people and stuff that you shouldn't be giving it to? What relationship are you in right now that is taking oil from you, that when God is ready for you to use the oil he's put in you, your oil is low because you gave it to somebody who shouldn't have it? Right now, I want you to view your time as a form of oil. Here's the question. Who are you spending it on? What are you spending it on? Your intimate time with the Lord will keep your oil full, because while you're in his presence, he will pour more into you. The Holy Spirit, see, wants you to stay full. See, some of y'all ain't full. Say, well, Pastor, how do I get full? Well, let's read Ephesians 5:18. In the King James, it says, and be not drunk with what? Be not drunk with wine. He's talking about Boone's Farm. Come on, what's some other wine? Come on, throw it out here. I know y'all know. He said, be not drunk with wine, where in excess, but be filled with what, church? But be filled with the Spirit. Speak. Now, remember now, the Spirit represents oil, but be filled with the Spirit. This is how you get filled with the Spirit. Listen now. He says you get filled with the Spirit by speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice he says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Those are not songs on K104. I want you to notice what he didn't say. In fact, wait a minute. Let me read that same verse in the New Living Translation. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How do we do that? By singing what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your heart. And then he goes on to say, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice it said that we will stay full of oil if we stay, watch this, singing melodies, psalms, and spiritual songs in our hearts. It didn't say, listen now. It didn't say, listen to the songs. It said, sing them. That's why you have to be in worship. Why? Because as long as I'm singing, whether I'm doing it out loud or whether I'm doing it in my heart, when I'm singing psalms and spiritual songs and making melodies in my heart to the Lord, I'm staying full of the Spirit. So the foolish virgins ran out of oil because they were not monitoring or managing their oil levels. So what made the other five virgins wise? What made them wise? Well, two things made them wise. Number one, they were properly monitoring and managing the oil levels. But the second thing the wise did, watch this now, they also didn't waste their oil by giving it to a fool. So just look at your neighbor and say, don't give your oil to a fool. So what are some potential oil takers? Y'all already got some in your mind right now. Who or what are some potential oil takers? Here's the first one, wrong relationships. That's a huge oil taker. These are people we should not have relationships with, but we have them because loneliness opened that door. And I'm not just talking about boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. Some of you all have inappropriate relationships. When I say inappropriate, you're friends with people that you shouldn't be friends with. Listen, your friends should be equally yoked with you. Did you hear what I said? I said your friends should be equally yoked with you. You shouldn't have friends that, listen, that do what you don't believe in doing. Because if you have friends like that and they're doing what you don't believe in doing, you're going to start doing what you don't believe in doing. Everybody say wrong relationships. These are not all. This is just some key ones. Here's number two, social media. And this is when we allow social media to rob us from time we could be spending either serving the Lord through your local church, studying the Word of God to show yourself approved, sharing the gospel with somebody else, or praying. I dare you to look at how much time you spent on social media. You could have been praying. You could have been witnessing. You could have been studying the Word of God, but now you're scrolling. I'm scrolling. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I didn't know that. Everybody say social media. Here's number three, your social life. Because some of you in here, you're social butterflies. You just can't be by yourself. Over here, over there, everywhere. This is when your social life overshadows your spiritual life. Here's number four. This was a big one. It's being undisciplined. And this is when you do what you want to do instead of doing what you need to do. Boy, this is good. This is good stuff right here. I'm going to say that one again, and I'm going to say it with a smile. This is when you do what you want to do instead of doing what you need to do. The whole point of having oil was so they would be ready for the bridegroom, which brings us now our last point, which is, are you oil ready? So just look at somebody and ask them, are you oil ready? Listen to this now. I want you to, if you don't hear nothing else I said, I want you to hear what I'm about to say right now. There we go. We got a pain-free. Come on right there. There it is right there. Yes, God is a healer. While I was prepared, we got another one right over here. Oh, we got two more right over here. Praise the Lord. See, they done forgot they had pain. They just enjoying the message. Preach, Pastor. Preach, man of God. They forgot they ain't got no pain. Praise the Lord. So listen to this. While I was preparing this message, I asked the Lord a question. I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell these singles? And this is what he told me. Tell them that Jesus is coming back and to live like it. I'm going to say that again. He told me to tell you, this is your message directly from Jesus today. He's saying, tell them that I'm coming back. And I need them to live like that. What would your life look like if your focus was having oil for when the bridegroom comes? what would not be in your life because it was a waste of your oil? Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 as we close here. In the Amplified, it says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. This is how you now maintain oil. He says, set your mind and your focus habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Watch this now. When Christ, here we go, who is your life, appears again, then you will also appear with him in glory. May I add this, if you have enough oil. So let me tell you how to maintain oil. Put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body, with its central self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passions, evil desire, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry. And he says, because it replaces your devotion to God. What in your life is an idol? Now see, in 2025, we don't necessarily think we have idols, because back in the day, an idol was an image or a stature or something like that that a person would worship. But I want to propose to you today, singles, and if I was a hooper, and I ain't, an idol is anything that is taking time away from God. If someone has an emotional space in your life that they should not have, and that's a place where God wants to be, that's an idol. If you're spending time with somebody, and the somebody you're spending time with, it's not a somebody that God wants you to have, that's an idol. Okay? If you have activities in your life, let me see, the new activity now, it's kind of like tennis. What is that called? Pickleball. If you're a pickleballer, and you pickleballing more than you praying, pickleball is an idol. He said, well, I ain't come to church to hear you telling me that I'm a pickleball idol person. Then what is your idol? Because let me say, tell you what I know. Whatever is siphoning your oil is your idol. So let's now apply this, because now it's getting serious. Touch your neighbor and say, he's getting serious now. Listen, church, listen, listen, listen. Let me tell you something. I was single before and then got married. I came single again, and now I'm married again. And what I know is what you can do as a single person, you can't do as a married person. So how do we apply this? Number one, evaluate your oil level by examining your consecration level. I'm going to say that again. Evaluate your oil level by examining your consecration level. Listen, here we go. I'm about to stab you, but I'm going to stitch you back up. Here we go. If you were dating Jesus, with the time you are giving him right now, would it be sufficient for you all to have a thriving relationship? I'm going to say, slap your neighbor. No, don't slap him. Don't slap him. I'm going to say that again, because I think some of y'all missed it. If you were dating Jesus with the time you are giving him right now, would it be sufficient for you and Jesus to have a thriving relationship? Here's number two. Identify who or what is siphoning your oil and redefine that relationship or activity. Redefine it. Number three, ask yourself the question, is my life in order for Jesus to come right now? Am I oil ready? And then number four, start today. Everybody say today. Start today by living like Jesus is coming back soon. Did you get something out of the message today? So I want you to bow your head right there.